Fantastic. Oh, I love it when the Holy Spirit uses scripture to really showcase and speak about what we're about to talk about now. Jen's opening scripture from 2 Corinthians about now the Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, what there is freedom. Freedom. I'm about to speak about freedom. Freedom. I've had that that song that in your freedom I will live. The lyrics, in your freedom I will live. I've had that on my mind for the last couple of weeks. In your freedom I will live. And it's been there for a little while now. But before we get there, who loves golf? Who likes playing golf? Here, Cara likes golf. I see there's someone on the front row here waving his hand around, loves golf. Did anyone bring a golf stick with them today, a driver at all? Has anyone got one in their back pocket? Oh, of course. Pastor Alan's got a golf stick right there. This man, like seriously. Is there anyone here who can hit a golf ball further than 300 meters? Oh, we got a few people here. This is great. Hey? Okay, everyone, we'll have to go out and actually test that. Pastor Alan, could I ask you to come up here, please, mate? I love playing golf. I love a good game of golf. And Alan, could you just give us a demonstration on how to use this thing?
Sure.
Yeah. I knew that was coming. So what happens, like, when you're playing golf, obviously you've got the golf ball, and if you're teeing off, that's what they call it, teeing off, you usually have to watch where you're going to put the ball, don't you? Yep. Yeah, okay, so over there, okay. So could you just demonstrate what a really good swing is? Just watch out, people. Just demonstrate, you know, how's it go? Loosen up a little bit. Just watch the style, folks. Just watch the style. Watch the style here. Here we go. Anytime now. Woo! Nice. Oh, beautiful. He's got it. So, Pastor Alan, yeah, let's give him a hand. That's awesome. That's a good hit, that. Now, Pastor Alan, on your golf driver here, okay, if you were to actually hit the golf ball over on this side over here, what happens?
That way.
And that they call that a slice, don't they? Or a hook?
That's a shank.
Yeah, but the actual, the hit, is that a slice?
If it hits that side, it'll probably hook.
It'll hook that side.
Slice.
Okay, here we go.
But
so
the way I hit it, straight.
Yeah, right.
I was going to point out there's some dimples from golf balls over on this side over here, but we won't talk about them. Okay, so playing golf, the ideal place to hit the ball is right smack bang in the center there. And they call that, thank you, Craig, they call it the sweet spot. The sweet spot. Okay, so thank you very much, mate. That was great. Let's give him a hand. In life, when things come against us, when bills pile up, where things may not happen right at work, you may have someone at work who just rubs you the wrong way. You may have a car accident and you don't have insurance and there's bills there. You may have to get out of your house and things like that happen. How do you react? With golf, if you hit the ball the wrong way, in the wrong spot, you'll slice it and you'll end up somewhere where you don't want to be, instead of ending up on the actual green where you want to be. Okay, I always used to say when I was playing golf, as long as I hit the ball, I'm still closer to the hole, whether it goes that way or whatever. Okay, but in life, as Christians, how we react, how we respond when we're hit for six, really matters. Do we spit the dummy and drop everything and chuck a tantrum and march off? Take our bat and ball and go home? How do we respond? In that song, "In Your Freedom I Will Live." In your freedom I will live. Let's just think about that statement. In your freedom I will live. I know Craig, when we first started this month's talk, you know, Pastor Ted started talking about freedom, and I know Craig said, "Freedom!"
I did not. I stopped.
I know, but it was there. He was itching for it. And even Jan, when she said that scripture this morning, this afternoon, freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom. In your freedom, I will live. This is like a declaration from our very heart. In your freedom, Jesus, in your freedom that you give us, I will live there. I will not let these things get in the way or hinder me or trip me up. I'm not going to go down to the level that Satan wants me to go down to. I'm going to stay above that. In your freedom, I will live. I will live. Who's facing stuff right now today? There's things that may be in front of you and you're thinking, "Oh, how am I going to get through this?" In your freedom, I will live. We need to be above those situations. Above those situations. I'm going to ask my fantastic son to come on up. And we're just going to have a bit of a chat up here. And there was a time in Josiah's life. Gee, you're good looking, aren't you? Look at this. Yeah, takes after the mum. That's it. Here we go. There was a time in your life a number of years ago where you found yourself going through some stuff that led you down a pathway where you probably didn't want to go. What was happening at that time for you at that time?
Yeah, so that was 2015. I just finished high school in 2014. I experienced a lot of letdown at the end of high school with a lot of career choices and all of that. And so that caused me to spiral into some pretty dark places mentally. And so I lived in that place for a year. I wasn't walking with the Lord. So towards the end of that year, I was so just disoriented. I had no idea what life was, to the point of being suicidal by the end of that year. Completely devoid of hope. And just to give you a snapshot, for anyone who's had a panic attack before, I was having 10 to 15 a day. I was really not doing great at all. And I pretty much had no relationship with family. My friends were jerks. So I was really isolated, really by myself, and was in a really dark spot.
Isn't that interesting that when we're going through stuff, Satan will do whatever he can to isolate us from our family, from our friends,
yeah.
So we're easy pickings. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, I was saying, just hold those thoughts. You see a lot of those wildlife videos and stuff like that when hyenas or packs of wolves, they want to get to a mob or a group of prey, whatever they're trying to get. They try to isolate sometimes the weakest, sometimes those that are injured, those that are going through stuff. Isolate them so they're easy pickings. Satan does the same. Okay? When we're going through stuff, he'll try to isolate. It's like, "Well, I can't deal with this. I can't go to church. I just don't feel like I can do it today." We need to be here around family so we can pray for one another and lift one another up. Let's continue. So what was happening? Like you said, there was stuff going on. Did that keep on going on, or what happened there?
Yeah, so I then entered 2016. By this stage, and I'm just going to be fully real about it, I attempted suicide 3 times.
Yeah.
We went on a family holiday, down to Newcastle. We were living in Toowoomba at the time.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go at all because there was no relationship there, right? So it was like, what's the point in being a part of a family gathering? Plus, I wanted to party with all my friends and, you know, do all the things that weekend. And anyway, we go down to Newcastle, go to church, forced to church. went to church, didn't feel anything. And then that night, it was Easter Sunday, 2016.
Yeah.
I just had a moment where I was being asked a lot of different questions. And it was just too much. Like, I was struggling with anxiety, and so it was too much. And so by that time, I knew how to hide it. And so I removed myself from the situation and went and sat at, like, in the backyard of this place and just burst into a probably one of the worst panic attacks I've had up to that time. I couldn't see out of my eyes. I couldn't breathe. I was hyperventilating. And I remember the voice in my head, like, telling me to, like, finish everything. And so in that moment, I remember planning it. I remember making the decision. And I remember making the decision to walk 500 meters away to the nearest highway. And it was right in the moment. Now, I wasn't asking for this at all, but it was right in that moment where, believe it or not, this guy came and sat next to me, put his arm around me, and I couldn't leave the chair. And he held me and prayed for me.
Yeah.
And in that moment, like, looking back, I fully believe that the Lord led him to be there in that moment. And yeah, he prayed for me. I don't remember what he prayed except for the very last thing that he prayed. And he said, in the name of Jesus, I ask, Lord, for peace to come and hit my son.
Yeah.
And it did.
Yeah.
And I don't know how, I've never been able to describe it any other way other than it was like a, just like a thing of lightning hit me and it was peace. Because when you go from feeling so much chaos to so much peace, it's like I actually just kept crying and kept crying and kept crying, but the crying was different now.
Yeah.
You know, and that in that moment, because of my upbringing and everything, I knew it was Jesus. And in that moment, I gave my heart to the Lord. And
yeah, come on. So at that point, God met you right where you were at. It wasn't anything that I did. It was that the Holy Spirit, and it was just the Father's love that just really wrapped his arms around you at that time. It really just shows that it doesn't matter what we go through, that Father is there for us. When we're going through stuff, Father is there. He knows what we're going through. We know the turmoil that we're facing in our minds. He brings that peace. And it comes to us just to surrender. Like, there was no one preaching a word. There was no one giving an altar call at that time. It was just raw between you and God. See, God has said in his word that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's always there for us. Amen. Let's give God a hand, eh? Thanks, buddy. Love you, man. Love you. So I just want to bounce from this, if I can. What does it mean that in your freedom I will live? What does this really mean for us as Christians? In your freedom, I will live. It's not just, yeah, I'm just going to live in your freedom. It's like a statement. It's like, I will live in this place. I will live in this place. I just want to I just want to talk about five things here. What I believe it is, keys, what it is to live in the freedom that Jesus gives us. The first one I want to just mention is about freedom from the bondage of sin. We know that in Romans 6 verse 18 it says, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. We know the story of Paul where he was transformed, where he was persecuting Christians left, right and center. Then he had the encounter with Jesus and it transformed his life. He was going after Christians left, right and center all over the place. And dramatically he had this encounter where Jesus said, Paul, Paul, why is it hard for you to kick against the goads? And straight away, Paul recognized Jesus' voice, said, Lord, Lord. Straight away, he was set free from these things. Through Jesus. It's Jesus. You know, we've had prayer out there just before church, and we're just praying, speaking in tongues. And I had that old song come into my mind. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Who remembers that song? Yeah. That new song that Sam and Joe brought this morning as well, it's about Jesus. About Jesus. All I want is Jesus. You know, being a Christian, it's not about religion. It's about this relationship with Jesus Christ. It's about wanting to spend every single second with him. It's about not wanting to displease him. It's about just wanting to, Lord, whatever it takes, I want to serve you. Whatever it takes, I want to live for you. Whatever it takes, I want to be your hands and feet. I want to be that witness. I want to be that example. I want to shine the light that you've given me to the world that's around me. Whatever it takes. Freedom from the bondage of sin. It's declaring that thing that I'm not going to let this sin, this addiction, this whatever it is, hinder me from serving Jesus. I'm not going to let that keep me bogged down. I want to serve Jesus and not be held back. Push through that lid, that thing that's holding you back, and just get some mongrel about you and say, no more. I will not let this thing stop me or hold me back. Whatever that addiction is, that sin, that's you maybe feel like you're taking three steps forward, then you're taking five steps back. But it's just having that moment saying, no, I'm not going to go down that track anymore. I'm not going to be bound by sin anymore. In your freedom, Jesus, I will live. And we need to step into that. The second thing is that we have freedom from condemnation. Romans 8, 1 and 2. Who can quote this? Someone should be able to quote this. Therefore, there is now no what? Condemnation, thank you, for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you what? Free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Amen. There's now no more condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Who's in Christ Jesus today? Yeah? So when old Harry Leeks comes against you and starts bringing the accusations and starts condemning you, what are you going to tell him? Yeah. Tell him to get lost. Give him a good kick where it belongs. Good size 9. Sometimes I believe we've got to get a bit of mongrel about us. Say, oh, please just leave me alone. I can't deal with this today. Oh, really? Thank you, Raz. Thank you, Raz. He's under our feet. You know, that's where he belongs. We've got to get a little, we've been set free from this. You know, there's now no more condemnation. We're free from condemnation. Do we live in that? Do we live from that position? Let's do this. In Jesus, we are set free from the guilt and condemnation of our past mistakes and sins. We can experience the freedom of forgiveness and restoration in our relationship with God. These are promises for us. Amen? Point number three, freedom to love sacrificially. In Galatians 5:3, it says, serve one another humbly in love. John 3:16, pretty sure we can all quote that. For God so loved the world. Louder. Whom shall not perish but have everlasting life. Yes. So Jesus set the example for us right there what it is to live sacrificially and to love one another. We're told to love one another. Do we do this? I loved what Jen spoke about the tithes, about, you know, that expensive bowl of alabaster. How are we positioned in that? Are we prepared to give that sacrificially? Look, God, whatever it takes, it's yours. Whatever it is, it's yours. My brother needs something, it's his. I've got the means, I can help out, I can do that. Lord, I just want to do that. Jesus set the example there for us. His freedom enables us to love others selflessly and sacrificially, following his example of humility. We know in Matthew 5:44, it says to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That person at work who just looks at you the wrong way and you just... Oh, Lord, just bless that person. Just bless them. Not with a fist. Bless them, Lord God. We can't do that. Do we do that? Do we pray for those? That person that's just cut you off. Bless them, Lord, with flat tires. No, 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 no. No. Bless them, Lord. They may need to get to that place more quick than what you do. We don't know what's going on in their life. Bless them, Lord. Keep them safe. Do we pray for these ones? That person that's cut in on the line and you've been waiting for 10 minutes at Bunnings already. How do we deal with that? Go buy something else. That's a good excuse to do that. I like that. I'll remember that one. Do we love our enemies? Do we pray for those that persecute you? Number four, freedom to live in truth. John 8:32 says, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you what?
Free.
Yes, free. There's so many different narratives in the world right now. There's so many different narratives that are trying to bombard at us from left, right and center. We need to know what the truth is. What is the truth? That Jesus said that I'm the way, the what? The truth and the life. We know that Jesus is the truth. So do we, everything we do, is it based on the truth of Jesus Christ in the Word? What narrative are we listening to? Are we just tuned into what the Word is? Or are we tuned into social media and the news and everything else? Freedom to live in truth, in truth, in truth. Jesus' freedom allows us to live authentically and transparently, guided by His truth, His truth, His truth. The last one here is freedom to live in hope and purpose. Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Jesus, it's all about Jesus here. The hope and purpose. Josiah's testimony where he said that he had no hope. He felt like he had no purpose. Disillusioned, disoriented. Felt like he was isolated. And the father just wrapped his arms around him and just gave him that love. Hope and purpose. And he hasn't looked back. Amen. In Acts 1:8, it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." We see the disciples here were transformed. Before Jesus' death, they were running scared. They scattered. Good old Peter said, "I don't know you." That wasn't someone who was full of authority. But when the Holy Spirit came upon them, wow, the book of Acts is all about it, of the power that happened when they stepped into that. When they stepped into that, because they had the hope, they had the freedom, they had the power of the Holy Spirit then. In your freedom, I will live. In your freedom, I will live. Joe, can I have you up on the keys, please? Is that okay? There's so many things that can pull us down. There's so many things that can sidetrack us. There's so many things that can derail where God wants us to go. It really comes down to where you are at with your relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you going to have this backbone that in your freedom I will live? And I'm not going to let anything get in the way. I'm not going to let circumstances stop me from moving on in what God's asked me to do. I love the story of Elijah. There's so much I want to unpack that in 2 weeks. But Elijah, you know, he was called to this brook called Cherith. God told him to drink of the water and he'd send ravens to feed him. That brook ran dry. But he stayed there up until God told him to move on. He wasn't looking for another game plan. He wasn't saying, "Oh, I need to go somewhere to get more water." He stayed there until God told him to move on. In our lives, we need to have such an obedience to what God tells us to do that when we stay planted in a place, say, "Lord, you've told me to stay here. I'm going to stay here until you tell me to move on." We need to be like watchmen on the wall. When we see attacks coming, we need to be watchful all the time. We need to have our backbone straight and say, "I will, Lord, in your freedom, I will live. And I'm not going to let anything hurt my family here." And be protective of what God is doing in the house. Amen? Even if it means coming around one another, praying for one another. If you hear a brother or a sister's going through stuff, bake them a cake. Go have coffee with them. Amen. Just get around them. Love on them. In your freedom, Lord, I will live. We need to be different. It says in the Word that because we love one another, because we love one another, people will see that. And they'll know that we are His disciples. That's the thing that sets us apart from everything else, is our love for one another. Lord, in your freedom, I will live. In your freedom that you have given us, I will live. And I want to make sure that my brothers and sisters see the freedom that's in my face, that's in my life, that's in my life. And I'm not going to let anything hold me back. You know, if there's times of worship and you think, "Oh, I just want to get to the front. I want to get on my knees. I just want to cry out for God," then you do that. I love the story of Elijah. He boldly took on 850 prophets of Baal. One man, 850. He stood up for what he believed in. He didn't say, "Oh, I'm too afraid." If you feel like there's times here at church where you just want to just worship God on your knees, then don't be afraid to. Come on out the front. in your freedom, Lord God. You've given me freedom when I just want to live in that place. It's all about you, Jesus. My relationship with you, I want more of you. I want more of you, Jesus. Does that, what we sing, that song that we just sang, I want you more, I'm hungry for you. Does that, what we sing, does that come out in our actions every single day? How we all stand up. Thank you, Lord God.